that seeks to inform and engage the bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. We are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even. If you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are, it's all about unity and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June.
Hallelujah. Listen, Bride. The Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer. On our volunteer page, we need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that will just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you, just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Kenny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas, and that if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook, and we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also, the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord. Dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything. Just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. Thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that He would show up mightily. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts, and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does His will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you.
Hey, bride. It's awesome to get to speak to everyone again. I hope everyone's having a great day. And this is Tristan. And we have, what is today, John Ward as a co-host. How you doing, John?
Doing great, Tristan.
Thanks. Glad to hear it. And today we are interviewing Carol Dixon Wilson. She's based out of Kentucky, and she's the head of Transformed Ministries. How you doing, Carol?
Hello, I'm doing fine, thank you.
Glad to hear it, Carol. So, could you tell us how God changed your life, how he took you from someone that didn't know him to where you are now?
Well, Tristan, I was born in a family that went to church and believed in Jesus. So I was raised where I heard the Bible, but I didn't have any relationship with Jesus. I never had ever heard of the Holy Spirit. So I had some understanding of God, that there was a God, and, you know, there were the Ten Commandments I had in my mind. As long as I didn't break those Ten Commandments, I was okay. And then as I got older and I started noticing I was breaking those Ten Commandments, then I kind of knew, you know, I wasn't right with God. And I can remember at 14, they had a revival in my church, and the evangelist came around and I talked to us about getting baptized. And I got baptized with a bunch of young people, but nothing changed for me. I got baptized, and I knew I wasn't right. And I can remember we took communion every Sunday, and I can remember realizing, without even really knowing, I just had this feeling I shouldn't be taking it because I'm not right. I don't know God, and I'm not right with God. And I think, yeah, you know, that's the Holy Spirit working with me even then. I'm sorry.
I just said definitely. I just agreeing with you.
Yeah. When I was, somewhere around 14, I started going in the wrong direction. And I started with just marijuana and drinking. And around this part of the area, there's not really a lot for young people to do. And it seems like there's a lot of bars and stuff, and that's what happens to a lot of young people. And so from the time I was 16, you know, in that age group, I started drinking and doing drugs and everything that went along with that. And when I was 18 of that age, around 18, it just got worse. And so sometime right before I turned 21, I'd used needles and everything, and I thought I was going to OD one night, but I didn't really understand what was happening to me. And I can remember saying, I cried in my mind, I said, God, please don't let me die, because I don't want to go to hell. And, you know, we made jokes that hell was somewhere we were all going to be, and we just party. But when it came right down to it, I knew better. And I can look back now and see how God started, he sent somebody to me. And to make a long story short, I met this pastor and his wife that I had known her when she was in high school, and they came to this area to start a missions work. It was a little Church of God, and I went to their house one night, and I told the pastor all my problems, and he just said, I don't know the answer, but I know Jesus is the answer. You know, I can't tell you particularly every situation you have, but Jesus, he is the answer. And I just believed him, and all I did was get down, you know, in this little, it was just a little one-room place, and I just said, Jesus, I've made a mess of my life. Will you help me? And my life has never been the same. That was all I simply did, and I was changed, and instantly I was all, you know, off of drugs, and I started attending church and going to revival and just a relationship with God, and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And and I would like to tell you that I, you know, I was one of those girls. I thought for years I would never. I would never backslide. I couldn't understand. I was saved. It was 1986, and I can remember when, I know some people may be familiar with, you know, it was like a large ministry that went through a scandal, and I couldn't understand how he, you know, that would happen to somebody, how they could fall from Christ. And I just thought, that'll never happen to me. And I, you know, like to say that it would love to say that it never did, but, you know, it did. And I found through my time with God that he loved me more than I ever knew. And I get a little ahead of myself, but when I was first saved, God gave, I didn't know that I would ever have children or have a husband. And God gave me a mighty man of God, put us together, and my husband had been freed from drugs and alcohol by watching TBN in his bedroom. He didn't know anything about anything, and got instantly set free just through watching Christian TV. And so in the year 2000, some things happened, and we backslid, and anyway, I did, and God, you know, I want to tell this because it doesn't matter. And, you know, it doesn't, there's nowhere you can go. You can't go too far. You know, my main ministry is, it doesn't matter how sinful of a life you've lived. If you come to God, you know, he'll turn it all around. And there's nothing, I mean, there's, you know, nothing that you can't sin so far that God can't, you know, if you come to him humbly, that he can turn your life around. And you know, and so that's why I share that, you know, the backsliding time in my life where I got away from God and I lost everything. I had been given everything from God, a wonderful life, a wonderful family. I was called to preach, not that I had a big ministry or anything, but in my church I preached. And then something happened, and I can tell you where it happened, where I turned my back on God because I felt like God let me down. And I was away from God for a year, and my whole everything, it was just a terrible time. But I can remember, you know, in my backsliding, going back to alcohol and being in a bathroom in a bar on my knees saying, God, please help me. And I could feel the Holy Spirit moving, and I think, well, I can't pray in the Spirit. I'm not right with God. And I realize now that that's, the Holy Spirit was trying to help me. He was trying to help me even then. And but long or short, God put it all back together, and my marriage is better than it ever has been. My life is, you know, the calling of God. I didn't know that I would ever be. I thought if I could just be saved again and sitting in a, on a pew, I'd be happy. I didn't know that God would ever be able to use me again. And I went through a lot, you know, I learned who I was in Christ. That was one thing. I think I had a lot of experience with God in prayer, you know, but I didn't know the word like I needed to. If I would have, you know, I wasn't founded in who I was in Christ. And once that foundation, you know, it was just weak. And when that foundation got restored and I learned who I was in Christ, and, you know, it's changed everything to not only have the if you want to call it the emotional experience, to not just have that, but to have that foundation of the word. It, you know, you have to have that. Because the enemy comes in, the Bible says he'll come in, you know, like a flood. He'll come in, and God, he'll fight for us. But we have to have that word foundation in our lives, and I'm thankful, you know. So now that's my, you know, my salvation experience with, you know, just that doesn't matter what you've done, you know. Sometimes I still have times where the enemy will try to come and say, you know, but you did this. You know, and maybe sometimes for a little while, you know, I'll think, yeah, that's right. You know, I just don't know. It's so awful. But then, you know, the word, well, you know, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. It's all, you know, don't you call clean unclean what God calls clean. That's what, you know, he tells me. He calls me clean, I'm clean. And so that's what, you know, I'm about now is I'll go back to the very, you know, the very place where I was a backslidden Christian and an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I go right back to that same place. Not thinking, you know, at first I felt like God was calling me there, and I thought, how can you use me there? These people, they know how I lived, you know. It's a small town, and there's people that probably know things I did that I don't even know. And then I heard a testimony of a pastor from Florida who was a prostitute. And on the very street corner where she was a prostitute, God called her to start a church. And she's a councilwoman in this town, and her name's Kim Daniels, I think, or Kit. She's has a very large deliverance ministry, and I thought if God can use a prostitute on the street corner, He can use this little girl, and so that's where Transform Ministries came
awesome.
From a broken life. Yes.
Absolutely awesome.
Praise God.
That's an awesome testimony, and it is so true that whatever we've done, God doesn't respect what we've done. He respects what we want to do and where our heart is and what we're after for Him, you know?
Yes. Yes.
I was just thinking, sister, with that testimony, you being willing to share where you've come from and all that humility, God will bless and use that in a huge way,
mm-hmm.
in a huge way, because that's what He's looking for. You know, we have to humble ourselves before God, and then He's going to do big stuff. And
yes,
that's
He will.
Exactly what it sounds like you're doing, and God will honor it in a big, big way. I'm sure He already has, but thank God there's more to come. You know.
Amen.
Yes, we've already shot. We've been working. We started with just outreach, doing an outreach for women, and we had several women come. And then we had one in December where nobody came. But it was like I knew we're working in an area, in this one particular county in Kentucky that there is no spirit. You know, there is no. I felt like God told me I want a place. You know, He wants a place where He can do whatever He wants, where the Holy Spirit can change people's lives, and that's what, you know, I'm willing, my husband and I are both willing to allow the Lord to use us, and so I had a women's luncheon at a restaurant in the town, and there was like 25 people came, and I had my first one get saved, and I've been working with her ever since. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. She's a first generation. There's no one else in her family that's ever been filled with the Spirit. She's the first person, and it's just totally changing her life. And then I'm taking three women to Columbus, Ohio. I'm a part of a ministry called Gritty Women from Eagle Rock Church in Columbus, Ohio. Pastor Les and Sheila Bowling, and they have an international conference in. I'm taking three women to that this year that have never been to anything like that. And and we're starting on Friday nights. We're starting Friday Night Fire. We want to build a core group of people to, you know, start. I don't see a church per se, but a place where people can come weekly and be, you know, and worship in the Word. Maybe it's more like the revival hubs that they're speaking of these days. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but it's just, you know, whatever God wants it to be, a place where people, you know, where we can worship and the Word, you know, God can speak through my husband or myself, and then as God adds to us others, and just build people's lives, you know, on the Word and through the presence of God. You know, we need we're all about. We've been meeting on Tuesday night for I don't know how long now, praying for awakening. I just, you know, here's so much of awakening, and back in the 90s, I would go to Florence, Kentucky. It's about an hour from here to revival meetings, and you know, it was when it was going on. There was revival meetings in different places, but it wasn't effective. It was, you had to go to a certain place to receive. And I just said, God, I don't want to be left out. I don't want this area to be left out of a way, you know. And I just one night, I just had this great laughter rise up in me that, you know, we're not going to be left out. And so we're just seeking God for awakening and revival. My husband has been a man of pursuit of intercession and seeking revival for years. God's made the way for him to be able to pray, to be an intercessor daily for this nation and for our state. And I'm just, you know, it's exciting times.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that sounds like going back to the house churches, honestly, or more like what was in Acts, which is certainly
yes, that's,
a good thing.
Yes.
That's a
that's
lot
my,
more.
Yes, that's wonderful. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're fine. Go ahead.
That's my heart, you know, our heart. That's what we're in, you know, just reading the book of Acts. And I do want to, God speaks to me in dreams. Sometimes I know when I'm having a dream and it's from God, and when I'm just, you know, and that was how, one of the ways the ministry started also is I had a dream, and in the dream I was having a baby, and the baby came out, and it was like a 10-year-old, but it was like petrified. And then I knew right away I was getting ready to have another one, and it was going to be easier. It wasn't going to be as hard. And when the baby came out, and I looked at it, and I could tell something wasn't right. It wasn't normal. And I looked at it, and it was like, it looked like a little biker man. And it was like, to me, I knew God was telling me, you know, I had tried to have a baby before, a spiritual ministry, that, and it didn't work. It had died. I don't know if it, you know, and but this time it was going to be easier, and it was going to be to a people. It wasn't going to look like what people thought it, you know, it wasn't going to look like anything, and it was going to be to a people that might be considered, you know, rebellious people, and people that other, you know, and that's the kind of people, I mean, I don't care who, I want everybody to be touched by God, but there's people that, you know, and that were like me, or like my husband, or that sometimes, you know, they just, they're not going to come to church. They're not going to go to a church building. They're taught, you know, all they know is religion. All they know is let's go to church on Sunday, and then everybody goes to the, you know, they went to the bar on Saturday night, and they go to church on Sunday. And then, you know, that's what a lot of people know. They just know religion. It's not anything that changes people's life. It's a relationship with Christ. I've always liked to say I can go to McDonald's and I can go every day, but it doesn't make me a Big Mac because I go there. I have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what changes our life. He's real. You know, it's not a bill. It's not a religion to where you just, there's no, you know, it's not like lots of religions where there is no real living God. There is the living God and His Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will come and fill us, and, you know, not just save us and leave us, but He comes and fills us. He comes and lives in us, and you know, He'll change everything. And it doesn't mean that we don't have struggles in life. We go through the same things, but it's just this: we're not alone. We have Him and we have His Word to help us. And so I, you know, I see. That dream led me to ministry, and then I had a dream about, you know, even using like a mobile home, like in this area, in this little town, someday, even if we just start just renting a mobile home and using it weekly to have a, you know, a place where people can come, you know, and we're just starting in our home because, you know, you got to start somewhere. And I just feel like, you know, with the one girl that's saved and the other people that, she, you know, I meet with her every week and disciple her, but we've got to have, you know, we just needed to start having a place where weekly, you know, we can build a core group of people and start doing more. Yeah.
Amen. That's exactly what I'm hearing about what's happening in a lot of other places as well. I mean, God bringing people back to house church type of stuff, to going out into the world instead of being focused on the church itself. I mean, people that need to know God aren't coming to church because there's such a stigma around it at this point, which is a sad thing. But
right.
Well, brother, I got some good news to go with that. I believe that that's all going to change this year.
I hope so.
And that there's going to be a major revival in the church across the country. And, of course, that's where a revival, you know, is, that's where it's at, is in the church. You got to be revived first to ever get revival, and then a great awakening is going to flood this nation. And, sister, you won't have to run to this place or that place. It's going to come right on across the country, and you'll be part of it.
Praise God.
Amen.
I believe that.
I believe it too. Things have to change. There isn't a choice.
That's true. They have to. And God is not through with America. He's not going to let America go down the tubes for His own name's sake, at least.
Amen.
But you know, if nothing else. But His compassions fail not. And for His great name's sake, this country was founded on the principles of the Bible. And He's not going to let His name be defamed much longer.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming time.
for a lot of changes. But I got excited when you mentioned going to this place and that place to
yeah. Catch fire. Well, I mean, it was the way
fire.
It was. It,
that's right.
It was. It was like that.
The fire's going to spread across the country, and we won't miss it.
Yeah.
Right.
It is going to spread. The fire is coming. It's there's been so many prophecies about it. It's not even funny, and I'm just waiting on it to happen.
Amen.
Honestly.
Amen.
So, Carol, had a question for you.
Uh-huh.
If you had 5 minutes to talk to the body of Christ about anything, what would it be? Would it be a warning, an exhortation, just an observation? What's God had burning in your heart for the body?
Well, for me, you know, I just feel like that it's just really important that we continue to go to God, to go to Him. I like to, you know, draw a circle around yourself and say, God, it's not my neighbor, it's not my pastor, it's not my, you know, it's not the worship team, it's me. What in me, what is there in me that I need to, you know, open up my eyes and let me see myself the way you see me, and let me see if there's, you know, anything in me that's
mm-hmm.
that's hindering you from, you know, I want revival in me. It's got to start in me.
Amen.
You know, what is the sin that's so easy, you know, if I know what the sin is that so easily besets me, then I need to, you know, I want to overcome this sin. The
Amen.
Sin that, you know, so easily besets me. What is it in my life? You know, what I struggled with last year, there should be some victories in my life. There should be some things that I'm not struggling with now. You know, there's always going to be something that God's going to deal with us about, but none of us are perfect. Jesus is, you know, but I do believe that, you know, we should be progressively, you know, getting cleaner and purer, that I feel like, you know, God's coming after a pure and spotless. That's what He's looking for. You know, He's not looking for us to wait for our neighbor to get pure and spotless. It's us. He wants us to be, you know, be pure. And I, in this verse in Revelations, I've been looking at in Revelations 1:22, and it says, He showed me a pure river of life that flowed, that was crystal. Wait a minute, I'm sorry, I wrote it down so I would read it. And He showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it's just going to that throne. There's a pure river of life flowing from His throne. And just, you know, we have access to that throne anytime because of Jesus Christ. You know, it doesn't matter if today you had a bad day, you know, and maybe you feel like you got in the flesh, you know, go to the throne and let the pure water that's flowing from that throne come into our lives and just, you know, just receive from that pure water, that pure river of life. Because the more life we get in us and the more light that we have, that when, you know, the lighter, the brighter the light of us, when we go into this dark world, you know, we're going to shine for Christ. And we just got to keep shining. There's the best of times, the worst of times, but we just keep shining and just keep praying and keep believing. And no matter what it looks like, if, just keep, you know, praying and keep seeking God for, you know, I heard my husband shared this with me, and then I read it, and this is the way I, you know, what I see as far as, you know, maybe things didn't turn out the way, you know, us intercessors, we prayed for, you know, and there was a lot of intercession going on for what happened in our Supreme Court, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but,
yeah.
You know, just like David, when he sinned and had that child and he went to God, he in sackcloth and ashes and prayed for that child to live, and it didn't. And he got up after it and he just cleaned himself off and went on, you know, and I feel like let's be about our Father's business. Okay, it didn't turn out the way we wanted. Let's get up, shake ourselves off, you know, and just keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we don't understand everything all the time, but that don't make no difference. Nothing surprises God, and we just keep Amen. Doing the work. You know, keep working, because the night's going to come when no man's going to be able to work. When the door shuts, it's going to shut and it's going to be over. So let's just keep working. So I guess that's what I was, you know, I don't mean so much work, be about busyness, but be like yeah. Jesus and hear the Father's voice and do what the Father tells us to do. Do what we see the Father do. You know, we're so busy sometimes doing this and doing that. And, you know, if what we're doing isn't what Jesus told us to do, it's not going to, it's when we stand, you know, that's a fear. It's not an unhealthy fear. I don't believe it at all. But if, you know, I'm going to stand before Jesus, you're going to stand before Jesus. We're going to give an account for our lives. And if, you know, we were busy about doing so much stuff that he didn't tell us to do. So I think, you know, I encourage every person in the body of Christ to seek God, hear God, and do what he tells you to do. Because, you know, do what he leads you to do. Learn if, you know, if you feel like you don't know his voice very good, just get quiet, get still, and you'll hear his voice and do what he tells you to do. And, you know, be respectful and be honorable you know, don't allow any rebellion in your life. If you see rebellion in your life, take care of it. Just take care of it, because it's ugly, you know, and we all have to deal with it, you know, every one of us. But God is great, and he helps us. So I hope that's helpful.
Oh, yeah, I know John has something to say about that.
Well, I'm just going to say that's a great word. That's an inspiring, powerful word, sister. And that's exactly, mm-hmm. you're exactly on the money, is what I'd say.
Amen.
Rebellion, you walking in humility and looking for places of rebellion and squishing them, you'll go a long way. And so
Amen.
Will we all. That's a great word for me and Tristan, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
I wanted
to, you know, to tell you, this is how I was. When I married my husband, we were talking about getting married, I said, Willie, I said, well, we didn't have a normal courtship, you know, I said, when are we going to get married? I said, I'll obey you like a mule. Well, that was not what I wanted to come out of my mouth. I did not know I was going to say that. I thought, and I'm going to tell you, I proved it to be true, but I'm going to tell you, God gave me my husband, and he's been faithful to me, to help me, even though at times I was rebellious. But he, you know, loved me and talked to me, and he would talk to me about Moses. I'd think, how is this? He'd talk to me about Moses and how the people did Moses, and I'd think, now what does that got to do? You know, I mean, I was awful, and I hate that I'm 50 years old, and it's took a lot of years to get me, and I'm still, I know there's still, you know, stuff in me that God's still going, and I don't say that like I'm, you know, I don't have any more issues with ever having to deal with any kind of rebellion or anything, because I'm sure I do and will. But I am so thankful, you know, that when I was first born again, and before I got married, and I knew God was calling me. I didn't know what to, but I just knew. And I went to my pastor, and his wife, she prophesied to me, and then it was like it was going to be a struggle. And I can honestly say that my life has been a struggle. But you know, where I'm at now, God knew all along that it was going to be. And with all people, he knows what is going to go on in your life, and he is so faithful. He that begun a good work in you will perform it. He will
Amen.
Not. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what. You know, if you fall down, get back up. Knock off your knees and keep on going. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. I think it's real important to make sure you have at least one person that you can talk to about anything, and know that they won't talk about you, that they will, you know, I have mentors in my life, two great mentors in my life that I can talk to about anything. Don't hide anything. You know, if there's a sin that, you know, you're so ashamed of, you don't feel like you can tell anybody, have one person you can go to, even if, you know, you can go, you know, Jesus knows, and you can always go to him, but it's just something about having that one accountability person. You know, don't keep any secrets, because those secrets, if you keep one, it will get you. If you don't, you know, go to somebody. There's people out there that'll love you no matter what, you know, no matter what it is, that'll help you get through it. And so I'm just thankful that my husband has, you know, I can't help but talk about my husband. I left my husband. I divorced my husband, and he never quit. This was in my backslide, and he said, God, I'm going to keep praying for her until she gets married again. And God restored our marriage after a year, restored our marriage, and now it's like, it's better than, I mean, he'll tell you, not just me, it's better than it's ever been. When God restores something, he does it, he does it wonderfully, and it's like it never happened. And my husband is a very, a wonderful man of God, and I am so thankful. Thankful for everything that God has done and what he is doing, and I know he prays for me. He tells me all the time, what my heart is to see you fulfill the call of God that he has on your life. That's what I pray for. I want to see you, and I have three children. My oldest daughter is very active in ministry. She's on a worship team, and she's just very, very active, and God, that, just changed her life. And I have two other children. My youngest daughter is on her way with God. Everybody has a journey, and she's having her journey. And then I have a son, and he lives away from here, and he don't see eye to eye with us, but he's the one, I'm praying. I won't quit praying, and I know he, he's going to have his Paul, the experience like Paul did. But God is awesome, and I'm so thankful for having the privilege of being able to serve him, and I just, just want to do God's will.
Amen.
I hit on something. I can tell when I hit something there. I get real excited.
I can tell. That's typically what happens. I mean, God gets that fire in you, and then all of a sudden you just start talking, and you just don't stop.
Well, that's an inspiring word, Gerald. Appreciate you sharing it.
Yeah.
Well, I just think, I'm just me. I'm a very simple person. I'm a little simple country girl from a little place called Germantown, Kentucky. And I'm just simple, just a little country girl. And I just think being honest, you just be yourself and you just be honest. Yeah. And I've always been that way. And just be yourself. And I had
most of the apostles were fishermen. They were simple people, but they were powerful when the Holy Spirit used them. So that's the only thing that matters.
It is.
And that's a word the Lord kept giving me this week is, how God chooses. I mean, some people, they wouldn't choose me. I would not be. I wouldn't be their choice to do anything. But God chooses people like me. And he gets glory because I can't glory in anything I do. It's God that gets the glory because, I love education. I've went through this. It's a ministry. Eagle Rock is a covenant network in Columbus. Has a gospel and the preacher is what it's called. It's like a little Bible school, like modules that you do. And I've went through those. You learn. It's really good to learn how to preach the gospel in 5 minutes. Everybody can preach the gospel. I've really enjoyed that. I've had to do it online because the school, the church is there in Columbus. So I have one more module to do that they have, and I don't think education is wonderful, but I haven't had a whole lot of education. It's just, and I've struggled, when you've went through a lot of things in your life, you struggle with things, and it's like that onion. God, he peels it away. And so, sometimes just because of the relationship that you may have had, my father is a very hard worker and a wonderful man, but he didn't show a lot of affection. And, he loves me, and I know he does, but I couldn't talk to him very well. And my sister or I, we just never could talk to him very well. And I found, sometimes I've had to learn how to talk to God, And I don't know, some people seem to say sometimes, having a hard time talking with your natural father can affect, but the Holy Spirit helps us. So, and I'm so thankful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Spirit, or being able to pray in the Spirit. I don't know how to pray. I pray a lot in the spirit because I don't know what I should pray. But the Bible says the spirit will pray the perfect will of God. So I know when I'm praying in the spirit that I'm praying the perfect will of God. And I rely a lot on praying in the spirit.
Amen. Well, on that note, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute with more from Carol. Hang on.
Okay, thank you.
Are you a ministry that is not reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing it on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Hey, me.
And we're back with Carol and John Ward. And Carol, do you have a message or teaching that you would like to share with us?
I can share a little. I don't know how long it'll be, but I do have a little.
That's perfectly fine. Just whatever God put on your heart.
Hang on just a minute here. My Bible. These electronic Bibles, I tell you.
They're not quite as fast as the real one, you know?
Yeah, and I left my real one. Okay, here we go. I just really basically just would like to read the scripture and see.
All right. Scripture is always a good place to start.
It's my ministry motto, Romans 12:2. Romans 12.
You're fine.
2. And that is my Bible is not wanting to cooperate, but it will right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Cooperate. Okay, I love this. Romans 12, I'm going to read the first and the second verse. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As we allow the transformation of our mind by the Word of God, it's like the old little transformers. We change like the butterfly, the caterpillar and the butterfly. As we submit ourselves to God, as we go before God, you know, you may be not a Christian, and you're hearing my voice, you just go to God, just like I did, and simply say, I made a mess of my life, Lord. Will you please help me? And I guarantee you, the God that sees your heart, you know, you can say a big fancy prayer and not mean it from your heart, it's not going to matter. But if in your heart you call out to God, you lay yourself before Him, you give yourself to Him, as a living sacrifice, you just say, God, here I am, I'm giving myself to you. lay yourself before him as a living sacrifice, and he'll accept that sacrifice of your life. And then as you, he will, you know, he'll give you the ability to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to change, you know, you no longer say, you know, I am not this or not that, but I can do all things through Christ. That's what his word says, you know. You can do whatever he tells you to do, you can do it. And, you know, it's nothing, you know, the best that we can do is not good enough. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is like filthy rags. I mean, they're nasty. The best we can do is nasty. And we can't get to God on our own. And that's why Jesus Christ came into this earth and died for us, shed his blood on the cross. The blood of Jesus is so powerful, and it will, you know, he took our sin and made it so, you know, in my life, if I sin, I just go to him and I say, confess it, and I receive his forgiveness and his mercy. He shed his blood and made it so that we could be the righteousness of God in Christ. He's the one that's right. He makes us right, being in him. And, you know, we can go to church, and I believe it, church is a wonderful thing, and that we need the community and we need accountability. But if all we do is just go there and we never engage in a relationship with Christ, and we just trust on our own, you know, how much money we put in there, or how many times we go to church, or, you know, all the works that we do, those things will never make us right. It's by faith in the blood, in what Christ did, in the shedding of his blood and his resurrection. You know, he died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And through his death and his burial and his resurrection, we can become new creations in him. We can have our lives transformed no matter what. No matter what sin, no matter the sin you think is so terrible, you know, the worst sin you can think of, that sin, God can wash it all away, and he can take a person and change you and transform you into a wonderful human being, a productive citizen, a minister of whatever God, you know, whatever he wants to call you to do, whatever he wants to use you to do, to change other people's lives, to bring other people, to be a light in this dark world.
Amen.
Just, you know, submit yourself to God. Realize you can't make yourself right. Jesus Christ makes you right. Trusting in him and asking him to be your Lord and come into your life, and then allowing the word of God, building that relationship with him in prayer, talking to him, and then the word of God, you know, changing the way we think, you know, changing the way we think, that our mind thinks, the way our fleshly mind, our carnal mind wants to go, and changing it to what God's word says, then we become that new creation, that new creature in Christ. And
Amen.
That's God's will for all of us.
Amen.
Amen. I agree with that completely. He just wants us to get to know him better and just submit to what he wants for us, ultimately.
Yes.
I mean, that love relationship is so key. And when you are in love with Jesus, all you really want is to do what he wants for you. What the
yes.
Father wants to be done.
Yes.
I agree, that's spot on. John, you have any comments?
No, I think I just want to say thanks, Carol, for sharing today. That was a great word, a powerful word, and that it comes,
mm-hmm.
I still want to say again, comes from a place of humility for you to share that, and that's what God honors, and he's going to use it more and more.
Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to share and to meet you on the phone call. I'll be checking out your ministry as well.
Yeah, it's been an absolute blessing getting to talk to you and having John with us. I definitely feel like Holy Spirit showed up, and my goodness, you were on fire when you were talking.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you.
Well, it's about time we actually do need to close up in just a minute. But I'm going to lead us all in a prayer for your ministry, Carol, and then I'd like you to pray for as well, John, and then Carol, if you wouldn't mind closing us out in prayer, that'd be great.
Okay.
All right. Well, then, come on, Brad, let's all come into agreement and lift up Carol and her ministry and what God's doing with her in Kentucky and just do everything we can to support her. Lord, we come together as the Bride of Christ over John Doe, over Carol Wilson's ministry. We pray over her vision, her heart, and her mission. We pray that you send forth a host of angels from heaven to bring reinforcements to her, her family, her church and ministry, to everything that she's doing, to everyone around her. In the Spirit, we hold up her arms like Aaron did with Moses. We gather around her and speak life. We speak abundance of rain to her. We speak all strategies, sources, strength, and tools that she will need to accomplish her mission be supplied to her. We support our sister, and we thank you for downloading this mission to her. We thank you for her being on the broadcast today, and we thank you for acceleration in her ministry and vision, increase in the prophetic dreams, visions, downloads from heaven, and increase in finances to be able to accomplish all that she seeks to do and everything that you set before her. In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. In the name of Jesus, amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be on the Internet. Thank you for Carol, for the testimony you've given her. And, Lord, we just pray more fire, more power, and more big things that you want to do. And we just believe to hear that good report in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your peace that you give us. It's this peace that cannot be understood. And we just thank you for it, oh God. And I just pray for We Are the Bride Ministries, the radio ministry. I pray that blessings. I pray for every need that they have to be met. Pray for financial blessings. I pray that you just continue to use them in any way you choose. I pray for John's ministry, oh God, that you would just have your way and just use him to bring revival, increase that, oh God. We just thank you for men and women of God that are going after revival and going after awakening. We just pray for a release of ministering angels to go forth before and minister to the heirs of salvation and bring in the harvest. Help us to work along with you in bringing in the harvest, God, and we just thank you for this. It's been a blessing, and we just pray for every person that's hurt, that hears this, that they can just leave with one thing, that no matter what, you can do what God calls you to do in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God definitely wants us to succeed, that's for sure. Well, Carol and John, it was an awesome time to get with y'all, and I hope that y'all are blessed by it. Thank you all for both being with us today.
Well, I sure was.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you all. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks for listening, Brad. I hope you all have a great rest of the day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace now and forever, everywhere you go. In the name of Jesus.